You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Minutes after 7 o'clock here on a Thursday morning, transition Thursday that we do here on All Marine Radio. So good morning to you. My guest this morning, somebody who's no stranger to the program, no stranger, former Marine captain during the Vietnam conflict and a little bit after, Bob Nielsen. So Bob, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good to be here.
Give us an update. What's going on in Maryland?
Well, been over at Walter Reed a couple of times this week, had the occasion earlier this week to run into Sergeant Major Mackey over there. He was an unbelievable Marine Sergeant Major who showed up at Walter Reed, badly wounded, double AK amputee, got, I guess, about 5-6 years ago now. And he continued to be a phenomenal patient at his own recovery, but more amazingly, went out of his way to help every other wounded vet at Walter Reed. And he was back for prosthetics this week and getting some real attention. And last night he was on CBS radio. He did an interview with him on Nightly News about the problems he's been having with the VA trying to get prosthetics down in North Carolina for the last 5 years. So he's agreed to talk to you sometime.
Well, I'll give him a call later on today, and we'll have him on next week.
He is an amazing Marine.
Do you remember, obviously, if it was it was 5 years ago or so, it had to be in Afghanistan, yes?
Yeah, it was in Afghanistan. I don't know the exact details. He'd been in an IED explosion previous to that and lost part of a finger and never even got evacuated from the country. He's that kind of guy.
Right.
And then he got badly blown up when damn near lost his life, but he's been unbelievable at helping other veterans.
The
Marine's Marine.
Love that stuff. You know, it's just a selflessness that, you know, okay, now I want to switch gears, and it's along the same vein, the selflessness of veterans. So the Boston Marathon gets run on Tuesday, so yesterday morning. The irony of ironies. What are the first story I see about the Boston Marathon is about two veterans. One carrying a woman over the finish line. They're both amputees. Okay. The other one carries a flag for all 26.2 miles. It was a staff sergeant in the Army who carries the woman across.
Earl Granville.
Yeah, Earl Granville. And then, another, Marine sergeant, an Anglico guy by the name of Jose Sanchez, carries, an American flag that he was given, I think, by his unit. It says First Anglico, written across one of the white stripes. Then it's got a little bit of a...
Signed by his guys.
Signed by his guys with personal message. And he talked in a little interview I saw with him. He talked about, the problems he had. His own mental health and how this is a big deal for him. So, but, that comes on the heels of the Boston Marathon being the worst marathon relative to being open, for disabled, veteran competitors. And they have 25% of the disabled, chair people that pedal with their arms, essentially, that the Marine Corps Marathon has. They have half of what the LA Marathon has. They have a third of what the New York City Marathon has. It's the premier marathon in the world. It is run on Patriots Day, of all irony of ironies. Right? I mean, it's a joke, right? I looked at the article and I said, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And so I want you, because I heard about, Bob sent me the article and he said, check this out. And so talk about that, Bob. Talk about how did you run across that and give me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, Patrick Downs and his wife, Jessica, are two fabulous, fabulous young people that were in the Boston Marathon watching the marathon when the bomb went off. And both were badly wounded, and Patrick lost a leg, and his wife, Jessica, ended up losing two legs. And they were initially treated up in Boston, and eventually came down through a program that was set up to Walter Reed for rehab. And these two young people were absolutely fabulous with all the badly wounded vet amputees that we have at Walter Reed. And they got along with them, and a lot of the wounded that had gone through Walter Reed immediately went to Boston right after the bombing to visit with the brand new amputees and give them encouragement. You know, you see a double amputee walk in your room and you're laying there in bed having just been blown up. There's nothing that's going to help you realize that there's a future for you. So Patrick, in his recovery, was able to actually run the Boston Marathon last year. This year he did it on a hand crank, but last year he ran it. And Boston, the guys that run the Boston Marathon, and I don't know all the details, but they're bureaucratic as hell, had 150 reasons why they didn't want people in hand crank bicycles and, you know, wheelchair accessible and that kind of stuff doing the marathon. And they fought it. In fact, last year when the wounded came across the finish line, and I'm talking about the amputees, they weren't even announced in the PA system or they were made fun of. So Patrick wrote a letter to the editor of the Boston Globe that appeared about 2 weeks ago bringing the subject up. And you read it, I think it was yesterday, on your show.
Right.
And it was a well-written article saying, you know, let's stop the bullshit. Let's make it as accessible for our patriots that have been blown up and hurt, and let's let them participate. And, you know, there was a double amputee high above the double amputee named Nick Coulter who came across the finish line last year and was kind of actually ridiculed. Well, he works with this Achilles group that helps veterans with running various marathons. And he was really, really upset when it happened. So anyway, Patrick Downs writes this article, and he does a great job, and it gets published. And just a side note, Patrick Downs happens to have gone to the same high school in Boston that somebody of yours, a guy by the name of General Joe Dunford,
who ran
the marathon.
very much on the lowdown, ran the marathon.
Yeah, with no publicity, and he runs it.
Right.
So Patrick does the marathon this year in a hand crank, but all of a sudden, people in Boston are starting to pay attention and say, hey, maybe we ought to do a little bit more to help these veterans. So then the marathon's done, and like you said, I have no idea who won the marathon for the men. I have no idea who won the marathon for the women. But there's Earl Granville, who I'm a good friend with, Pennsylvania National Guard guy, three tours in Iraq, with one leg coming across the finish line, carrying a female run on his shoulders and the American flag. And then there's a Marine Anglico guy coming across on one leg, carrying the American flag. And that's in the press everywhere. And it just thought to me that's wonderful poetic justice, because people that are really struggling with doing this thing, and I don't think most people can comprehend what it's like to be an amputee and get out there and do 26 miles. Shit, I couldn't do 26 miles
With two
downhill
legs, right?
In a wheelchair.
And I said the same thing about Charlie Linfield when he went to the top of Everest, right? And you did that
exactly.
On one. And you did that on one leg. I'm not doing that on two. What the hell,
and so,
man?
Here they are coming across the finish line, and they're getting all the attention. And it's made people, I think, appreciate we got our priorities bass backwards. If we're only making this race accessible for, you know, runners with four limbs, well, what about the others that are out there that are doing it for us? So I thought it was just wonderful, and I was so glad that you read the article that Patrick wrote. And Patrick's a bright young man, and his wife, Jess, is just a sweetheart.
Right.
And, you know, they lost three limbs in that bombing.
Yeah.
And they're out there trying to make the people in Boston appreciate, hey, let's get our act together. You know, let's get our shit together and do something right.
Well,
I think we made some progress.
He wrote his piece. It says Patriots Should. It's entitled Patriots Should Ride on Patriots Day. And then since then, the Boston Athletic Association, in an article in the Globe, in the Boston Globe on April 11th, says the Boston Athletic Association vows to be more welcoming to hand cyclists. In a piece on the 11th as well, they apologized to marathon hand cyclists who felt they were mistreated, and they also increased honors for hand cycle competitors.
Yeah, they actually announced them when they crossed the finish line.
Yeah, I find it...
Hallelujah!
You know what? I have a good friend of mine has twin daughters. They play on the women's the United States women's national hockey team. They just got into, you know, they just got done with a fight with USA Hockey. And so when I spoke with them and asked about the issues, it's almost like you're completely blown away. Like, are you kidding me? So the men fly in business class to hockey games and to camps and things like that, and they can bring a guest. Where do the women fly? Coach, no guest.
Greyhound bus.
Yeah, coach, no guest. USA Hockey plays for disability insurance for the men. For the women, no. And you look at it and you're like, what could you be, do you think this is going to legitimately fly? That you can treat people like this? And then you look at this and it's like, who the hell was sitting at the table and said, okay, so we'll announce everybody, but we don't announce the hand cranks, the hand cyclists. Like, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't we? Well, you know, I know, but I mean, it's going to reflect poorly on us, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, if they're in, they're in. They got to be treated like they can't. What do we, you know, that's back of the bus nonsense, right? Yeah, you're here, but we don't really want you here.
And here's Patrick Downs, who lost a leg in the bombing, and his young wife lost two legs. And then you got Earl Granville, who did three tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He and his twin brother joined the Pennsylvania National Guard at the same time, did their first two tours together. Earl has been unbelievable in getting the word out about what goes on because his twin brother committed suicide after Earl got blown up. And the twin brother was not on that tour. And so Earl has gone out of his way to make people aware of the sacrifice that's going on and try to get that's to help each other to get them to deal with post-traumatic growth
right.
Because he doesn't want to see other vets go through what his brother went through and what Earl went through. And so Earl's out running the damn race and then finishes it on one leg carrying somebody on the shoulders. You know, this is Pennsylvania National Guard. He does three combat tours over there. In the old days, when you joined National Guard during Vietnam, you didn't go anywhere.
You didn't go anywhere.
A more dedicated, hard charging, gung ho soldier than Earl Granville.
Hold on, let me read you an email. Hey Mac, you guys are making this up, right? ? Bob?
Hell no.
How in the fuck can this go on? So let me get this straight. It's run on Patriots Day to honor patriots. But people confined to wheelchairs who want to compete, some of them Patriots, aren't allowed in this race, and those that are don't have their names announced?
They're discouraged.
Did I get that right? Bob, did he get that right?
Yes, sir, 100%. Although they did announce names this year, and they announced the handicap winners.
Oh, well, hallelujah.
They were able to turn on their microphone.
Okay, so that's that was the grand improvement, okay? They were included this year. They got their names announced. They got treated like other people.
And they said they're going to make improvements for next year.
Okay, let me just finish.
So instead of having, 20 guys and women on the hand cranks, maybe they'll have 40.
Which is still less.
Unlike the Marine Corps Marathon, which has
80-something. Yeah, 80-something.
And anybody that thinks for a goddamn second that it's easy to do this on a hand crank bike has got their head completely up their ass.
But you know what? It is
not easy to do.
It doesn't. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They're a separate category of competitor. They have their own competition. And this nation turned the corner a long time ago about inclusion, right?
Absolutely.
Just because you're challenged in some way, shape, or form doesn't mean that you shouldn't be included. And so, again, on Patriots Day, so the email finishes up. It astounds me, even today, that we continue to run into this kind of stuff. Whoever was responsible for that policy ought to be taken to the Boston Common, put in a stock, and whipped as a lesson to everybody. Don't do this. I think public whipping needs to make a comeback. For that matter, throw Bill O'Reilly's fat ass in there too. You could wait till he comes back to the Vatican, Mac. I'm okay with that. Then throw his dumb ass in there.
And what makes it so much more absurd, Mike, is in this war, the last 16, 17 years we've been fighting now, the military has gone out of its way to make wounded veterans be able to stay in the military as close to the branches of what they were doing,
right,
as close to their MOS as possible. And they've had double and triple amputees stay in. They've had many, many amputees go back and do combat tours,
right,
in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right. That's not
a multiple tour.
Right. That's not an atypical thing anymore. When you see that story, you're like, oh, another guy.
I can tell you in Vietnam they didn't do that. It was out the door and put them in the goddamn VA and forget about them.
Right. Right. No,
if the military's doing that, the Boston Marathon can do it.
Honestly, I find it astounding to think that sitting around a board table, somebody says, okay, let me just go over this. Disability for the men, not for the women, right? Everybody's like, yep, that's us. Everybody for that, yep, that's what we're, like, somebody put their hand up in the back of that planning in session. Hey, I'm all for going to Baghdad and having the big parade, but don't you think we ought to plan if it doesn't go that way? Hey, who said that? Get his ass out of here. All right, where were we? We were talking about the parade. Okay, yeah, let's talk about the parade. Oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me?
You really can't make it up.
No, you can't make it up. Another email. One more reason for you to hate Boston. Yeah, like I needed another reason, okay? But you know what? You're right. This is another reason for me to hate Boston.
I knew that was going to come up.
Exactly. That Boston, that shithole.
But you've been brainwashed.
I hate. Look, someday we're going to pave it, just so you know. And then we're giving it to Connecticut so they can park their boats there all winter long.
But I'll bet you Boston has produced more marine leaders than any other part of the country.
That's fine. They can go to Vermont. They can go to Connecticut. They can go to New York. There's a lot of places. They can go, okay? We just don't need that nonsense. You know what? I'll only pave the eastern half of the state, maybe the eastern third, because that's where it is, okay? Right? And then just all along that coastline, nothing but trailers with boats, Connecticut, Vermont. Hey, bring your boat. The eastern side of Massachusetts welcomes you, right? Everybody else is gone.
That's God, right. I think we found your sweet spot.
That's right. Why did they pave Massachusetts? I don't know. Governor McNamara, the military governor of the eastern province of Massachusetts, decided that was in the best interest of the nation. Oh, well, that's interesting. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about
if anybody from Boston's left listening.
Yeah, too bad, man. Should have treated my dad like a shithead. Okay, he didn't miss the ball at first base. That was Bill Buckner. Okay, and Bill Buckner's a great guy. You should have treated him like a shithead. So yeah, you get what you get in life, man. You get what you get in life. So. With all that said, I think I'm over it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Operation Lead at Turner, something Bob Nielsen has been working on in conjunction with us, and want to just talk about that real quick. And as we continue on the Thursday edition, we talk transitions here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial.
So now I'm thinking...
And I don't know what's going on right there, so something is. Something's playing audio from someplace. Yeah. Somebody just dunked something, so where, you know what, and guess where it's coming from. Wouldn't you know it, it's the article about Boston. Just see what I mean? And people wonder why we hate them.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. Past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams.
During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It's 7:44 here on the West Coast. Mike McNamara with you on a Thursday. We're talking transitions, and we'll do that most of the morning here today until Mike Musselman joins us. So, Bob Nielsen, he of 100 Entrepreneurs fame, and joins us to talk about Operation Lead at Turner. First of all, Bob, give us an update on 100 Entrepreneurs. What's going on? What are you guys doing?
Well, we're continuing to do our program at Walter Reed. We actually conduct a luncheon and once a month in a restaurant right outside the gate, and we have anywhere from 25 to 35 wounded and injured veterans and their caregivers come join us. We have entrepreneurs talk about starting businesses. We recently had Dog Tag Bakery come in and talk about the program they've got going down to Georgetown, where they take 12 veterans at a time, running through a 5-month program where they teach them how to run a business. And we also do the program down at Fort Belvoir. And then we got Travis Green, who does some group get-togethers down in Texas.
Right.
And another wounded vet, H.T. Tran, out in San Francisco, doing similar things with veterans out there in San Francisco. We've actually got over 175 veterans or caregivers now that have started their own business. And we found that the young veterans that are coming through, initially they all want to stay in the service. But then when some realize they can't do exactly what they were doing prior to getting injured, they begin to think of things they want to do, and we've been helping them with it. All we really do, Mike, is plant the seed. We get the seed planted in their head that you can go out and start something. You've got a hell of a lot of good training from the 3, 4, 5, 10 years that you've been in the military. And if you got something you're passionate about, you can go do it. And we try to plant that seed because most of the vets, that when they get injured or wounded, they come back and they know they're going to get a pension, but they don't know what they're going to do to keep their brain occupied. And that's the whole key to this thing. But we also have, I've over the past 15 years, gotten 25 or 30 veterans working with Turner Construction on our construction jobs, either working with our subcontractors or in some cases working with owners in career positions. And we've gotten them to come in. Kind of what we've done in Turner is look at the 3, 4 years in the military or more as the equivalent of going to college, because you work with teams of people that you've never met before. You put them together. You get sent to some godforsaken place to go do something, build a base camp, set up an artillery base, go fight the enemy in the infantry, whatever, whatever. But you know how to put a team together, go get the job done, and then go back, put another team together, and go do it again. And what we found in Turner, as you learn when you talk to Pat Murray and Matt Downs, Matt Parker, that you can get into a role in the construction industry where those leadership qualities that you've learned from the military can make you successful in the world of construction. And that's what we've been working on. And so the president of Turner, president CEO Peter Davin said, Bob, try to help us find 40 or so veterans, primarily veterans that have done combat tours. They don't have to be wounded or anything, but ones that have got their act together, can walk and chew gum, got some common sense, know how to put together a team. I don't give a damn if it's a team that goes out and runs a water purification unit in nowhere, Afghanistan, but they know how to go do it and get it done and make it work without running down to the local lumber yard and getting all the spare parts you need.
Right.
And so what we're really looking for is kids with common sense and brains and got their shit together. Men and women, any branch of service, and if they're good, we want them to pay attention to the opportunity we can make for them. I've actually got two that are in the process of getting their paperwork put together to send it to me, and then after I review it and look at it, then I'll get it into the hands of the top people at Turner, and they can begin to get this process moving. You can also go to the Turner website, just Google Turner Construction, and they have a whole web page for applying for opportunities. But if you're going to do it that way, make sure you mention All Marine Radio and make sure you mention Michael McNamara and Bob Nielsen. But our goal is to get vets. We like the experience they have in the military. We like what they've learned. And we think it has a great application in the construction industry. Like I've told you, Mike, and I think Pat Murray told you the same thing. I found after Vietnam, where I put together a group that could go do some pretty amazing things, coming back with Turner, I was essentially doing the same thing. Put together a group of people, go build a building. We come from all different backgrounds, all different races, all different nationalities. And we go put up a 10 or 20 or 50 or $100 million building. And then later on in my career with Turner, we could do it anywhere in the world. And so, the military hones in some very, very basic skills, which are the same skills that we look for in a construction industry to get a bunch of people headed in the right direction and accomplish something.
Bob,
so that's in essence what the program's about.
Okay. Bob Nielsen, our guest here on a Thursday edition. We're talking transition. We're talking operation lead at Turner. And Bob and I kicked around a lot of different names. But really, what Turner wants is something that you've been to. And it's interesting. I had Angie Morgan on. I've had Angie Morgan on probably two or three times now over the course of the last 3 months. And I love having her on. One thing she said was, hey, Mac, we don't realize it in the Marine Corps, but this is the greatest leadership academy in the world. Nobody does leadership like the Marine Corps. And so when you've been a non-commissioned officer, when you've deployed and done things under pressure where there isn't, right, lumber mart down at the corner, okay, when you've dealt with people, when you've dealt with elements of foreign countries, your own people, other services, you're a problem solver. You're a big-time, complex problem solver. And normally you're pretty good with people, too. And
you know, General Kennedy said something the other day in one of the most fantastic interviews I've ever heard you do, where when he took over the battalion, he took down all the pictures of the old COs and sergeant majors and put up the pictures of all the squad leaders. And I got goosebumps when he said that because, Jesus Christ, if anything ever hit the button right on the nose, that was it. Because in an infantry battalion, or for that matter, almost any battalion that I know in the Marine Corps, it's the goddamn squad leaders that get the shit done. And if they can do it, the battalion's going to be incredibly successful. If they can't do it, you're in trouble. But what is that? That's leadership.
Right.
And these guys, when they're corporals and sergeants, don't realize how much they've already got in their blood.
No, without a doubt. And you know, all Kennedy did was, you know, he talked about the guys who taught him when he was young. And then he was pretty fortunate throughout his career. He said pretty smart guys. And one of the guys who, you know, he quoted was General Zinni. You know, it's odd how the same people keep coming up. And he was if I was a captain that night, he'd probably still a first lieutenant maybe, or just have been promoted, newly promoted. And I want to say Zinni said that night, a battalion isn't five companies, okay? A battalion is 27 squads, right? That's what you have.
No, true.
You have 27 squads. That's what a battalion is. And the sooner you get to that, the better off you'll be. And I just remember thinking, wow. He said, because they're the ones that get it done. All right? They're the ones that get it done.
If you, any successful unit you've ever watched, they practice that.
No,
and the shitty ones didn't practice it.
No, and again, and if you're going to be successful, there's one thing that you'll have in common with everybody else that's successful, and that is you embrace discipline. And not the screaming and yelling discipline. It is the nurturing discipline that gets people to do what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, and do it that way consistently. And that's the discipline.
You can't be disciplined from somebody in a desk in the rear by the shoreline in July giving orders to people out fighting 30 miles away.
Or it can't be screaming and yelling discipline. That ain't discipline. That's somebody
exactly
screaming
right.
and yelling. It is the quiet confidence that's instilled by guys like Sergeant Major Zickenfuss, and that people go about, they understand why you don't eat on the hood of the Humvee. Okay? They get it.
Yeah.
They understand, as General Kennedy said, they understand why you shave every day. It is the practice of discipline. Okay?
Sergeant Major Mackey was the same way. I mean, when you show up double above the amputee in your 40s, you got a different road to hoe than when you're 21 years old. But Mackey set the example for the young kids.
Right.
Set the example.
And so, I mean, so to me, it I'll tell you what, and Nielsen and I are going to do this, but Turner is going to be simply the first company that we, you know, approach and say, we'd like to help you hire 10% of your workforce that you'll hire this year be veterans. We'd like to help you with that.
Sure, I'd love the power companies to realize you can get incredible veterans that can help the power companies run their power systems around the country.
Anybody,
unbelievable.
Any business that is crew-based, electrical companies, right?
That needs a team to
right,
do something.
That needs a team. You have a team of electricians. You're going to go out to this job. That is made up. A friend of mine runs one. He said, you know what? I should tell you this. I said, say it. He said, the best guy I have is Marine. I said, come on, man. It's the way we are.
Yep.
He says, no, he's so natural at it. He's not a screamer and a yeller. He's very meticulous in his preparation, treats everybody great, and they just do a ton of work for us. He said, and so.
We built the Honda automobile plant in England after building several in Ohio. And you couldn't believe the way the Honda people look at the team running that plant. The staff, the managers, the supervisors eat with the workers. The production floor where they produce the cars was spotlessly clean.
Yeah.
You know, you hear your Marine leaders talk about cleanliness and the importance of shaving and having a clean uniform on when you can get one. That's the same way Honda runs an automobile plant when they get them built and up and running. And you know what happened in the one in England? Ford came down to see what Honda was doing.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was no magic.
Right.
It was goddamn leadership.
Well, and I'll tell you what, the other interesting thing that they do is labor is part of the board of directors, that component. And so when they have a downturn, they tend to make cuts horizontally across the board so they don't have to lay anybody off. And you wonder why in Japan people identify with these businesses lifelong, and they stay with these businesses because there's a loyalty and a flexibility between labor and businesses that keeping our employees is good, you know. So it's a little bit different approach, but it's quintessentially that team. And I go back to what Angie Morgan said. This is not stuff that we're just talking this because we're Marines, okay? Angie, in civilian world,
if you can get put a team together to go fight in combat.
Yeah.
You can get a team to do anything.
Because
there's no tougher job in the world than going to fight combat.
Right.
But the problem is, I don't think the average young Marine, male or female, or young military person appreciates how much they've learned by being able to do that.
I absolutely agree with you. They don't see themselves. They see themselves as another, you know, person getting out and transitioning, and they don't see themselves as having those significant skills. And that's why, that's why Angie Morgan's comment about, you don't realize that you just spent time in the best leadership academy in the world.
Yeah, and you talked to Pat Murray, and Pat Murray came back, and he wanted to go back to hometown and be a fireman like his father had been. Right. I think his grandfather before. And I watched him grow when we put him on the Fort Belvoir Hospital. He was one of the first men on the job, and he was one of the last ones off. And as that job moved along, now this is a $1 billion Fort Belvoir Hospital, and Pat ended up building the whole goddamn power plant for the facility. And, you know, $20, $30, $40, $50 million. And Pat was running it. People didn't even know he was above knee amputee. And he's out running the project because he got that from the Marine Corps.
Right. All right. All right.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing we're looking for. And I just want people to realize they can get their information into you, or they can get it to me. And my email is Robert, N like Nancy, 802 at Mac.com. You can even go to Turner online and fill in an application with them, but you have to mention my name. I've got some people that got their paperwork in the works right now. I think it's a great opportunity.
No, without, for a career. Okay.
Not, absolutely.
Not to be employed.
No, we're not looking for job by job. We're looking for something that can change your life.
All right, sir. Thanks for the visit. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. No, I was wondering if we're changing subjects.
No, yeah, we're changing subjects. You're leaving.
Okay. Now, listen, don't get on the Boston subject anymore.
I'm okay with it. That's been my solution for a long time. Pave that thing. All right?
Okay.
Yeah, you should have seen Colonel Dunford when I ran that one in front of him that day, one day in Iraq. You know, he tends to wear his glasses, you know, fairly low on the bridge of his nose. He hears me, and
he's looking over his glasses.
He's looking over his glasses, and he types with single fingers, right? Yeah, the chairman's right. He can't type. So he looks at me, and he said, "Major, you need to shut up right now, okay?" I said, "I hate that
place." Joe Hoare would have said the same thing.
I said, "I hate that place." He said, "That's why you're a Yankee fan."
So I said, that's why you retired.
Exactly, exactly. That's why he said, "That's why you're a Yankee fan." I said, "Not only am I a Yankee fan, I'm a Red Sox hater." Okay, a hater.
Oh God.
He said, "You know what?
Great talking to you. You'll love talking to these people that were in the marathon and what they've been doing with it. And I think we're going to change some things, which is going to be good for everybody."
All right, bud. Thank you for the visit.
Okay. Great talking to you. Take care.
Yeah, that is the one and only Bob Nielsen. The 100 Entrepreneur Project. Look it up. They do great stuff. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. You're going to meet Daryl Hill, former captain, United States Marine Corps, infantryman. I think he did some work at ESPN before that. I think he's a Naval Academy guy. So, interesting guy. And facing fear is his deal, whether it be PTS. And the way I met him was through Ron Baskowski, retired Marine Corps Brigadier General. So you're going to get a chance to meet Daryl. He's going to tell you what he does, and we're going to talk about it. So don't touch that dial. Whatever you do, do yourself a favor. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.